Our reading this morning is, scripture reading is from Matthew 9, 1 through 8. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Betty. It's kind of fun to move this thing around, just so you know. And yes, I do sit on the front row and go, "Wow, a credit card with least balance would be good too." I couldn't help myself. It's okay. It's all right. Take them all. Good morning. Gosh, it's so pretty out. I wasn't sure there'd be anybody here. Thought you'd all be fishing or something. But it's too windy, so never mind. So this morning, we're in the second Sunday of Lent. And the first Sunday of Lent was about teaching. And Pastor Jim asked you all to do something. Do you remember what it was? Read the book of Matthew. How you doing on that? Good? Good. See, sometimes in a sermon series, I get a little lost. I have to do a pop quiz with myself. What did he say last week? Because hopefully in a series, it all kind of ties together. That probably won't happen today with mine, but it's supposed to happen with his. So I just wanted to remind you that I do hope you're looking at the book of Matthew because it really is a sweet and wonderful thing to pick up that discipline. And in that discipline, I wonder if I could also lift up our little Lenten book. And if you don't have one, we have them in several different locations, or ask me for one and I will give you one. And I just kind of wanted to share this. This is too funny. It's not too funny because it's the way God works. We're talking about many things today, and the one thing is about healing and how that all happens in this piece of scripture. And so as we get together, our best way to know who God is through scripture, right? Right? Yes. Okay, yay, good. Yay, all right. Oh, I like an amen. Woohoo! And so we can only kind of do that, friends, if we pick up a Bible and we pick up some of the words of God and look at it, would be my thinking. Now, I didn't always think that way. I didn't always think that way, so I think you grow into it. And I think the more you read into it, then the more you want to. I was going to bring you all the paperwork that I did for this, and when you get done, you'll go, "She took 18 pieces of paper, and that's all she's got to say." Well, you have to hone it down sometimes, because I can't give you everything I learned. Isn't that true, Pastor Jim? I mean, it almost gets a little addictive. Okay, so the scripture is today about a paralyzed person, a paralyzed man. And this paralyzed man, he lives in Capernaum. Now, in God, there's no coincidences. Could I get an amen to that one? No coincidences. Jesus had been away, and he was teaching, and he was healing, and he needed to come home. So he comes home to Capernaum. Google it. You'll love learning about Capernaum. I tell you, it's a great place. It's kind of a crossroads in the world. It's where lots of things happen. And so as we read about it, of course, that's kind of how Jesus's reputation got out so quickly, because the things that were happening there. So he comes home. He gets on a boat. He comes home. He says he comes home. He comes to his city. He comes to his city. Comes back where he was having his home base out of. And when he gets there, there are people who are, and can you visualize this for a minute? There's lots of stuff going on. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of Jesus' eye, he sees this thing. It's four guys. I envision four guys, and they've got a cart, you know, like a cot. And one is on one corner, one's on the other. You know, are you with me? There's four guys schlepping this poor guy. He's paralyzed. And they're bringing him to Jesus because they believe. Scripture says, this is the one that I just went. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man. That when Jesus saw their faith is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three synoptic gospels. It's the same. Those same words are in all three of those. I always laugh, and my grandma would say, Marcia, if it's in there in all three gospels, it's big. So I encourage you to look at that. If you find it one place, and you find it in all the gospels, if you find it in those three synoptic gospels, it's a big deal. And in every single one of them, it says, when he saw their faith. You know, he didn't say when he actually saw the man's faith. He said when he saw their faith. So maybe I should go to my notes. How about that? In the hustle and bustle of Capernaum, there are four friends who bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. And it made me wonder, what kind of friends were they? I don't know that I have four friends who could lift me. Just, I could be wrong. Yeah, I'm going to think about that a minute. I just don't think I have. Well, they got to carry the cot too. You know, I don't know that I have four friends. I've often said if I go down, it's a house rule. If I go down, you leave me alone till I get up or you call Shadle's Colonial Chapel. It's just my rule. So I don't think I have four friends who could hoist me. But I have several friends who would try. Okay, and these four friends absolutely must be just delightful because they have brought him to Jesus, which tells me that I think our faith must be visible. Don't you think? Did you kind of pick that up out of it? I read this scripture about 133 times and I went, dude, that means our faith should be visible. If I'm the one on the cot, still, my faith could be visible because I could be humble and not grouching. But man, those four friends, is their faith visible or what? If they're bringing this guy, and I imagine they take him to the pub. No, I don't know if they have pubs. But they take him places. It's pretty obvious. It's a big deal when it says the same thing in all of those three synoptic gospels. If they are what faith is visible, I have to ponder this a little bit because I get a little overwhelmed at God's word. Faith is invisible for the most part, except when we act on it. Are you with me? Dr. Martin Luther King says, and this is a Black History Awareness in the United Methodist Church, and I love his quotes and his sermons. He says that faith means that you take that first step even when you cannot see the staircase. Does that feel like faith to you sometimes? You just have faith that the next step's going to be there. Now, the older we get and the more falls we have, we're not quite certain about that. I'm just saying. You know you've hit a certain age when you go to the doctor and he says, how many times, do you fall? And you lie. just lie. I'm not telling him how many times I fall. These sweet people acted upon their faith in bringing this gentleman to Jesus because they trusted that Jesus was going to heal him. And guess what? He did. But he did it in a really weird way. Don't you think that's a little weird? He didn't just say, now sometimes when he does a healing, he says, get up, carry your cot, go home. Sometimes he says, what do you want? But this time he says, your sins are forgiven. Whew. Sin is such a churchy word, isn't it? But that's what he says. Your sins are forgiven. And of course, the leaders in the church who are just waiting to trip him up on something that he is doing, because they are really just waiting for him, go, oh, he's blaspheming. Now, that could have maybe sort of been it, but here is the core of this scripture, and I want you to take this home. This is the piece of scripture where Jesus declares who he is. He declares that he is the Son of God. Now, I get off my notes. I know I'm already off my notes, Lord. I already know that. Here's the deal. Sometimes we kind of forget that. I think, do we? We want to live like Jesus. We want to hear his stories. We want to live like he lives. But do we really think he is the Son of God? Capable of all things. Capable of healing every single one of us. If we but know what we need to be healed from. Maybe if we ask. Now, I'm not going to say to you that if you don't have enough faith, you'll never get healed. Have you ever had that? Please don't hear that. Please don't hear that. If you have the right amount of faith, you will be healed. Your loved one will be healed. Don't hear that. That's not a truth. Because God loves us so much that he wants to heal us from anything and everything. Maybe just the way we are. Maybe just the even broken mess we are. He looks at us and goes, they're a hot mess, but I love them anyway. Now, sometimes healings are not what we expect. Have you ever experienced that? Did you ever pray for something and it didn't happen the way you wanted it? Nobody? All the time. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Sometimes I pray for things and here's become my new prayer. God, your will be done. And that sounds so churchy, but it works. Your will be done. That's kind of what was going on here with these guys bringing the cot, their friend who was paralyzed. Of course, then I want to unpack, because my brain, my ADHD, I'm not diagnosed, but because I'm too old. But I have ADHD, I'm sure. But when you're this old, they go, nah, she's just weird. When I was growing up in school, she's just weird. But now it's a different thing. You get initials. I'm sorry, but I think it's wonderful because then we have new awareness of what people, you know, can kind of be and do. And no matter what they've got, we still love them, right? Just because you got initials doesn't mean you're not lovable. Come on. So my brain goes to sometimes I've seen people who were paralyzed by their own actions. Don't know how come this guy got on the cot. Don't know. There was a time in Jewish history and people thought that maybe his parents had sinned. Maybe he had sinned. But man, when your parents have sinned, that's kind of tough to think that our God would feel that way about it. And so I ponder these many things and I pray through the message for you today. I pray that some of these crazy little pings in my brain will have made you think about something. But I ask you to take home that God loves you so much that whatever you're struggling with, that whatever you're dealing with, if you're on the cot or if you're one of the carriers, God will heal you and help you. No matter what's going on in your life. And the way he'll heal you is by drawing him close to his arms, so closely that you can hear You ever thought about that? Hearing the heartbeat of God? But you have to be still. You have to be quiet to hear it. And in the midst of all the distractions, that's up to us to make that choice to be still and know that God is God. One of my favorite scriptures. When I get ready to talk to anybody, I like doing this a little bit, but what I really like to do is talk to you face to face. Because then when we talk face to face, then the Holy Spirit really kicks in. As I look out at every single sweet face, I bet you're dealing with something. I just think maybe you are. Maybe it's a little something. But maybe it's a big something that you can't even speak. But you can ask God about it. And I bet there's people in this congregation that you could sit next to and talk to about it. That's the friends element, right? I think it's important for us to understand that we read the Word of God to be inspired and to hear what God has to speak to us. Jesus was on his way to the cross, and he knew it. And yet he kept healing and teaching and healing and teaching because of you, because of me, because of us. He loves us that much, and God loves us and is always ready to heal us. I wrote on this one little card, paralysis can be physical, but it can also be emotional and spiritual. Jesus is God's Son with the power to heal us, to get us up off the ground, no matter where we are on the ground. My prayer for you today is that you feel that. Would you just take a moment and be still and just feel that whatever has you a little bit paralyzed or a lot paralyzed, now you can kind of breathe in. Breathe out. And maybe for the first time, be honest about it and ask God to heal you. You might have noticed a little something new in the back corner. If you haven't, turn around. Look there. I'm pointing. Do you ever say to somebody, look at that, and they're looking, and you're pointing, and they're going, stop. I'm pointing. The finger is that way. I do that to my husband all the time. He'll say, honey, come look at this, and I'll go, huh? And he's pointing to God knows what, but I go look. It's a really sweet thing. It's been on some hearts that prayer is, of course, the most important communication thing we do, right? And so back in that little sweet corner, following worship, if you'd like to have personal prayer, there will be, I believe this week is going to be, Miss Carla is going to be back there, and she's going to offer a listening ear and a sweet heart, a deeply caring heart to listen to your thoughts. I know Pastor Jim and I are always available. He's a dandy prayer, isn't he? He's a dandy prayer. So I'm not a dandy prayer, but I get it done because I love talking to the Lord. So in the next week of this beautiful season of Lent, a time to examine ourselves, to examine Scripture, to kind of make some kind of get up moves, kind of get up off the cot moves, if I can say it that way. Get up off the cot. You're not paralyzed anymore. The church isn't paralyzed. We got things to do. Amen? In the name of Jesus. So I just want to close with a little prayer, if that's okay with you. And just thank you for being here today. Because you know what? I look in your faces and I think, you know, I know why God loves you all. Because you're so dang lovable. You're just awesomely lovable. And I get why he loves you so much. I just hope you can feel that he loves you that much. Let's pray. Eternal God, you know I ramble around in your word, and I do see squirrels. I do kind of jump from one thing to the next. I hope that's okay. We just love you so much, God, that we want to live in this season of Lent, reexamining our lives, getting up off the cot, or maybe being the cot bearers. All of it kind of all seems wrapped together to me. Holy God, we love you. We want to honor you. We want to live out the words of do no harm, do good, and stay in love with you. That's what we want to do more than anything in the whole world. And you know we're going to need your help to do it. So thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the sustainer, who rests with us and on us and in us, that we might feel your presence. It's in the name of Jesus, sweet Jesus, who said, if we ask in his name, Jesus, in your name, that you care for us and heal us. It's in that name that we pray. Amen.